It's basically like you get LinkedIn, but you can actually go in and physically meet these people as well and go to the events that you care about. So that's another thing to keep in mind is you can really plug in physically and digitally, which is really cool to see.
Welcome to the Earfluence Podcast, where businesses and personal brands can learn how to amplify their expertise. I'm Jason Gilligan, CEO of Earfluence, and with me today is Deshaun Brown, the CEO of Coworks. And we're going to talk about how businesses can work with co-working spaces so that they can leverage more marketing, more connections, more partnerships, all those different things. Deshaun, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jason. It's great to be here.
So a little bit about Deshaun. I've gotten to know him over the past 3 or 4 years. He's in Raleigh Founded. He's now in the Common space here. He's on fire with investments from the Tweener Fund and Primordial and Venture South, all those different. Did I miss anything?
A couple more, but yeah, those
more.
Those are the big ones for sure.
All right, well, brag on yourself a little bit.
Yeah, we also got an investment from a group called Fulcrum here locally and Madison River Ventures. So yeah, we've got a full house.
Man, it is really exciting to see your growth with this, what Coworks has become. And I think you're now in 170 or so co-working spaces.
Yeah, just about. We've got spaces all over the world now. We're international. So we've got spaces in Germany, France, Canada, the UK. The London ones are really fun. And then, of course, the US, mostly Southeast. But yeah, East Coast, West Coast, it's really a global phenomenon, co-working. And that's what's really exciting.
That's amazing. So why did you get into co-working?
Yeah, so taking it all the way back, I started as just many other people start as a customer of co-working before I got into kind of now the business of co-working at Coworks, which we can talk about. But, you know, if we travel all the way back in time, when I was still at NC State University, go Wolfpack for any Wolfpackers out there, I learned about entrepreneurship, and it kind of sounds a little silly, but you know, I didn't really know much about it growing up. I didn't really, my parents actually found out later in life kind of were entrepreneurs in a way, but they, you know, that's not sort of how they describe themselves and not really a term that I knew as like a career path, but it's the best thing to happen to me. I kind of took an entrepreneurship class on a whim. I was an engineering major, so, and I just thought it looked interesting, and that really opened my eyes to all kinds of different worlds, the tech world, the startup world, eventually what would become the co-working world. I really just fell in love with this idea of you can come up with a great idea and just spend your kind of career like trying to solve problems and improve the world and create something that people are interested in, right? Like what a cool way to just have, what a cool career, just I solve problems,
yeah. You know? Yeah.
So that's kind of how everything started for me. Everything fell into place. I ended up really just specifically learning more about tech and programming. And I switched my major to computer science. I had a couple of friends that were like dropping out of school and going to these accelerators. And I was just like, what is all of this? And we did the Silicon Valley tour. And so, yeah, I knew that this is what I wanted to do. And so all that to say that my first kind of exposure to co-working was actually at NC State.
Uh-huh.
I joined the group of, we were the first version of the entrepreneurship ambassadors at NC State. We were the first ever cohort at the time, and NC State was sort of developing what would later become their entrepreneurship program, which you can get a degree in, by the way.
Uh-huh.
When I was there, that was not a thing. So, you know, it was just, you know, classes, which I took, there was a couple classes, shout out to Jennifer Capps. She, taught those classes and is phenomenal. And there was this kind of minor track you could do, but, yeah, they were prototyping a new space, a physical space called the garage. And, it was really no more than just a little, like a couple of conference rooms. Basically it was very, very tiny. You could probably fit 15 people in there. Mm-hmm. And, they had a little 3D printer in the corner and like a wood cutter, laser cutter. And they were like, all right, yeah, this is our student entrepreneur center, MVP.
Nice.
So But me and some of the other entrepreneur kids, we started our first companies out of there. I built my first company, Lithios, which is a mobile and web development agency. A lot of the other founders that were there at the time have now, like myself, gone on to raise a bunch of capital. And, you know, a couple of them have exited. Shout out to the Filter Easy guys. They're one of those guys.
Yeah. I use them every two months. Boom. I get a filter. Yeah.
There you go. So I like to tell that story because it isn't like traditional co-working, but it really helps set the, I guess, scene for how I was just exposed to work from an early age. Like, I got introduced to this idea of a bunch of people in a space collaborating, but everybody has their own projects and networking, and just like this, the energy was something that I'll never forget. Just like, again, building my own startup, I was running a business. Like, that was one of the most, you know, exciting times of like, just going out there and coding and figuring it out. And so when I graduated, I worked in a traditional office for a brief period. So I did get to see the other side. And when I say traditional, I mean very traditional. It was a Swiss bank that's no longer around. And we had everything, dress code, cubicle, IT was on their own floor, you know, the old school kind of water coolers, you know, that you see, like, I mean, it was just the complete opposite end of the spectrum. I didn't last very long there. I will just put it that way.
It sounds like neither did they.
Touche. You know, one of the big things was I was really missing that energy. Mm. Remember I said at the garage, like, I'll never forget that energy of just like being around people and being around innovation. And so I immediately, so I left there to go build my own company, which is what I was really passionate about. And I guess, unlike a lot of people who sort of discover co-working, I kind of sought it out without even knowing what the word was. It was just like, how do I find a place like the garage, right? I didn't know there was a term for it. This was early days. So I just literally was just like trying to find, we had our own office downtown and it was cool. It was fine. But I was just always looking for, is there a place where adults can have that same energy that we as students had, right, as, you know, entrepreneurs, ambassadors. But it turns out that was co-working, and I kind of finally connected the dots, and the rest is history.
That's so awesome. So within Lithios, you started building out Co-Works, the app. And for everybody that doesn't know Co-Works, it is a software for co-working spaces that will go ahead and help you schedule the rooms, like the podcast room or the conference room. You might see something on there like, snacks for today are this, this, and this. It's just like this member hub and an app that all the members can use. And it's super convenient. I've used it twice now and absolutely love it.
Awesome. Yeah. You're hired, by the way. that's absolutely right. And I think, you know, just to kind of give the background there on Co-Works, when we finally got into the co-working space, it was back in the days when it was called HQ Raleigh. Mm-hmm. I finally sort of, like I said, had that aha moment connecting all of the dots. Like, I found this place where you've got entrepreneurs, small businesses, large businesses. We had that energy. You know, I didn't have to worry about, you know, starting or, you know, furnishing my own offices. I remember we had this story when we had, when I first started my company and we were getting our first office, we hired our first intern, and she came in and she she was like, hey, there's no sink. And I was like, oh, is the bathroom, like, is something going wrong? And she was like, no, like, bathroom's fine. But like, in here, there's no sink. And I was like, in the office? She was like, yeah. So how am I going to make coffee? And I was like, And she was like, also, there's no coffee maker. And I was like, okay, all right. Here I am, like, we just spent all this money on a downtown office, right, internet, you know, buying tables and stuff, you know what I mean? And then, you know, I'm just like, wow, okay. I don't want to be spending my time with all these, like, but, you know, it's part of, you know, people expect those kind of amenities. So, you know, going into a co-working space, they got all that ready for you, right? Like, the coffee's there, the beer's on tap, like, you've got all the space that you need. I remember also half of our employees would just leave our office and go downstairs and work out of the coffee shop. And I'm like, you know, what
that's
are
no good.
Right. And they're just like, well, you know, I don't want to, I need a change of pace. Right.
Yeah.
So I think with co-working, you can kind of get all of that. So it really helped me grow my business, talking about marketing and startups. Like, that's what really launched me into the entrepreneur circle here in the Triangle, is like getting connected to these co-working spaces. So then I just became obsessed with co-working because of the fact that it really, I saw the impact on my business and other businesses firsthand. And I said, man, like, are there more spaces like this elsewhere in the world? And this was early days. So this is like pre-WeWork becoming like a household name for whatever reasons. And, you know, I really did some research and fell in love and realized that there was a big opportunity to help other people start these kind of spaces. Because what we really found was a lot of the owners and operators of these co-working spaces were just community builders, right? Mm. Like really awesome people who loved building community.
Yeah.
But they didn't necessarily have office management backgrounds or real estate backgrounds or technology backgrounds. And so operationally, co-working is kind of a challenge because you do so many things. It's an office space, an event space, a networking space, a catering space.
Like, yeah, it's true.
It's all shared. It's not just one company where you hand them the keys and say, okay, good luck. You're trying to manage access to resources for, you know, dozens, hundreds of people. So that's kind of where CoWorks comes in, is we built a all-in-one end-to-end platform that really streamlines and automates the operations of a co-working space. Everything from billing your tenants and managing your open offices to booking conference rooms to showcasing the resources and amenities that you have in the space and how to use those resources and amenities. And then there's the social component. You can see the events going on. You can interact with people in the directory. So that's all from the member side, and on the manager side, it's all just completely streamlined, all the payments, all the support tickets, everything you need. So it really gives them their time back so that they can go do the human things that make co-working so great, which is helping the businesses in the space, getting to know them, connecting them. So and you know, we started off with just the one space that we were a member of.
Yeah.
And now we're helping managers and co-working open up co-working spaces all over the world.
So
it's a cool full circle from that, you know, being in that little garage 1.0 to now helping other people around the world start, you know, anywhere from 5,000 square feet to 100,000 square feet co-working spaces. I mean, it's huge. So
congratulations.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
So this podcast is about, or is for businesses and how they can better market, how they can do better. And, you know, with co-working, there's a lot of opportunities here to not use co-working, but work with co-working spaces and figuring out like, well, what's my right networking strategy? You know, what about an event strategy? Let's talk about some of the ways that businesses can leverage co-working spaces to help them out.
Yeah.
Like sometimes even if they're not members of the co-working spaces, because, you know, the community aspect of it, like the co-working spaces that I've been a part of, and I feel like both of us have been very lucky. It is all about the rising tide.
Yeah.
It is all about building up all these businesses, and the co-working spaces, yes, they're competitors, but they're not super competitive and they want to work together. Anyway, all that to say, there are a lot of different ways that businesses, even if they're not actually tenants of co-working spaces, can be involved in co-working. So let's kind of talk through some of those.
Yeah, 100%. I think, and especially post-COVID, we've seen a lot of, you know, growth in the co-working space. But at the end of the day, like co-working spaces are sort of hubs in your community, right? They are business hubs for startups, entrepreneurs, big and small businesses to collaborate. And I think that's what a lot of people I don't really fully realize, is it's so unique in that way, because you could have IBM, Lenovo, and have a couple employees that are co-working out of there because they're hybrid, right next to somebody who's building out, you know, enterprise tech, and now you're getting deals done. So I think just understanding that, you know, the advantage of a co-working space is that it's the network in the community. So you can, and they're sort of incentivized to engage with the community. So if you're not a member, there's so many ways you can get involved, just because managers are always looking for content for events and programming for their members. So for example, you know, in our space, there are a few law firms that will hold office hours and they'll say, hey, if you need some legal advice, you know, we're here Mondays and Wednesdays and you can ask us about whatever problems you're having. Similarly, we have other businesses that offer similar services, and a lot of them aren't necessarily members of the space, but they want to, you know, market to the businesses that are in those spaces. So,
yeah, like for example, and you mentioned law firms holding office hours. Our friend Jen Sum with Primordial. She is at American Underground, the co-working space. Every, I don't remember which day, but you know, she's got set office hours there. And she's in the venture capital space. So people will come up to her all the time pitching ideas and asking for advice on how they can get capital. And she is more than willing to have all these coffees with these people. And that's what the office hours are for. Like, 100%. You know, that is, it's like a lead source for her, but it's also energizing.
100%. And shout out to Jen. They are, Jen and Primordial are investors in Cowork. So, and it's 100% true. Like, you know, we had our first conversation, Jen and I, in our co-working space and, you know, talking about co-works and what we do. So yeah, 100%. Like whether it's for funding, whether it's for services, I think, you know, just figuring out like who, what are the types of businesses that are in each space? Cause that's another thing that I think is cool to see in the co-working. We're starting to see specialized co-working spaces. You mentioned they're not like, you know, competitors in the strictest sense. And it's true because each space has something slightly different that they offer. The people that work there, the community itself is different. In one space, you may have more, you know, business focus, whereas in other spaces, you may have more creative focus. So we've seen like in the co-works world, getting to from where I sit, I've seen co-working spaces that are for like podcast production, audio type of folks, and they their space is really focused on mics and setup and soundproofing. And then artists, we're seeing biotech co-working spaces, so shared lab space. That's a big industry. Universities as well. I mentioned the garage. Well, that is now, NC State was kind of ahead of the curve, but we're seeing universities all over the country now building out these basically co-working spaces on campus with students and companies. So, you know,
and then Jason Wyden, like what's Jason Wyden doing with Blue?
Yeah, Jason Wyden, he's got his own specialized co-working. It's co-warehousing.
Co-warehousing,
so,
that's
yeah, right. Yeah, so Blue Co, and we just joined them on the co-works as well. So we're getting to see inside look of how that works. But yeah, he had, you know, just being in a regular co-working space, he's like, man, I wish I could bring this type of experience to the blue collar workers that have physical products and need sort of co-warehousing space. Like traditionally you'd have to go buy a warehouse that's, you know, way too big. You'd have to grow into it, or maybe it's too small and you've got to squeeze. And with this, you can kind of, you know, he's offering these flexible pallets where you can kind of grow and scale as your company grows and scales. And, oh yeah, you can go work in a nice office that doesn't look like a dungeon. And, you know, you can actually have meetings and be next to your product, where normally your warehouse and your office, two completely different things.
And, so smart.
You know, so yeah, that's, it's just, it's awesome to see all those different flavors. So as a business, not only can you get involved with the co-working spaces and kind of offer your services to the members, but you can probably really research specialized co-working spaces for your specific audience. And I just think a lot of people don't even really know that that's a place they can tap into, but
that's great.
You know, that's how we started our business, was just going to those spaces and finding people who we thought were potential customers.
That's great. Talk about events. You mentioned, you know, office hours is a great way to connect with the community using co-working spaces. But then you also had mentioned events. What do you mean by that? And I've seen some, but you've seen hundreds, if not thousands. So what kind of events are you talking about?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, one of the, it's funny because in our app, the first tab, the member app, when you open it up, the first thing you see is the, we call it the community feed, but it's our events feed. And I say that because like, it's that important to us to educate co-working spaces on the opportunity of holding these events. Because again, circling back to your space is a hub in your community. How do you increase foot traffic? How do you get people together? You know, the events is a huge, huge part. And so when we talk about events, it means a few things. I think The first one and my favorite type of events are just programming for the members. Yeah. So now if we're, you know, if you're joining a co-working space and you become a member, you kind of get to be included in these types of events. So everything from just like happy hours, network events, lunch and learns, like the best co-working spaces have learned like, all right, we're competing with people's homes, right? Like, you know, especially post-COVID, like you, a lot of people work from home and, you know, how do you get them out of their house, right? And you do that by creating experiences. And I think that's the big thing is like, we call the whole industry, we don't even internally call it co-working, we call it space as a service, right? And it's just bringing this hospitality focus to your workspace where whatever you need is there and sort of service provided, whether that be coffee, whether that be your office or what have you. But yeah, so that's the first type of events is like really the best managers are saying, what do our members like and enjoy for fun? And what will get them to all leave their offices and come down to the open space and talk to each other?
Yep.
You know, until you've experienced it, it's kind of hard to explain, but it really is pretty special because, you know, you're there, you're working hard, and then you just, you know, can walk a few steps and you've got this really great event that's got some interesting content. So we'll see that. We'll see educational content and stuff like Techstars comes to Raleigh Founded and to American Underground. And when they're, so Techstars is a global tech accelerator. They'll do a roadshow where they go around the country sort of promoting what they do and getting people to apply. And they go to these co-working spaces and they hold these events. So it's just, as you're growing as a business, like you'll have the fun stuff. You have the educational stuff. Like, how do I raise funds? Like people like Jen, like we just talked about. How do I, you know, do sales? I remember we just had an event a few months ago at Raleigh Founded about sort of growth hacking with sales. So you see those kinds of things. And then you see the events sponsored by, you know, the community partners. Yeah, you know, it really kind of covers the gamut. And I think another thing, this is less on the business side, but a lot of the savvy co-working spaces are also using events as like a revenue stream. So you can like have my friend, one of my best friends is getting married in a co-working space this fall. And so, you know, they're renting out the space, having a wedding, we see parties and things like that. So those aren't all necessarily for the members, but just, you know, again, about it being a hub, like I've had birthday parties at a co-working space. They're just cool, cool spaces. So it's really cool to utilize.
Yeah. One example, the diversity movement just did a diversity, equity, and inclusion event at Raleigh Founded last week as we're recording this. And the diversity movement is not a part of any co-working space.
Right.
But they contacted Raleigh Founded and said, we would like to put on a DEI event. And Raleigh Founded was like, yeah, this is important to us. You know, this is important to our members. We want to make sure that we're doing that. And so, you know, it was something where the diversity movement was giving to the community there. But then also, I mean, it's a lead generator for them, right? Like all these people could be clients of theirs at some point. And so things like that, where you're giving away this education for free, you're engaging with your community for free.
Yep.
And like there, maybe there's something to come of it, but no matter what, it's that community aspect that you're building.
100%. And I think that's, again, it's the value add of why would I join a co-working space? And I think, you know, again, as we look at the future of work, it's, you know, for me, I think it really is important to, especially as we've got more and more people working remotely and kind of in this hybrid world, like a lot of times you kind of had like your family was one, you know, family and friends as a social setting. Then you have your work life and the people that you work with in the office. Those are like the other big social component. And maybe if, you know, depending on where you live, you have a third space, whether that be, you know, church and things like that, or some sort of club that you're a part of. But, you know, I think when you remove what for a lot of people, the office was like a major social component of their day-to-day life, how do you not sort of lose the connections and the people-to-people social things that you got from being around other humans, right? And I think that's where co-working is so nice because you don't have to buy like a full office. You can get a membership that's just you know, you're dropping in a couple times a week, and it's flexible, and it gives you a chance to, even if you're working from home, I tell a lot of people, like, you should still have a co-working membership, because A, you just get to change it up and get out of your house and, you know, put on real clothes. And B, like, that could be, that's your source of, you know, social network, especially as a business owner, like meeting people. You can do all that online, of course, but I just think there's a certain magic of having that flex space.
Yeah, I mean, you're so right. And especially as you're building a business and as you're trying to find different resources, going on the CoWorks app for whatever co-working space that you're in and finding, oh, this person does accounting. I need an accountant. There's a law firm here. Maybe I should talk to this person. You know, there's so many things that as you're building your business where you need that resource, and being in a co-working space, odds are they have somebody that can help you out.
Yeah. Our legal team, we literally found them through our app. Yeah. So, you know, we needed a lawyer, and, you know, we knew that there was a group downstairs. And so I went over and asked, hey, what kind of work do you guys do? They're like, we work with startups. I'm like, oh, that's convenient. You know, so
perfect.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So another way to engage with co-working spaces and engage with community that I found is through meetups.
Right.
All right. So we do a Triangle Content Creators meetup once a month in Raleigh founded co-working space.
Yep.
They sponsor it, which means they let us use their space, and they let us use their beer taps, right?
That is a key element.
Right. And it's been an awesome resource for us to, again, engage with the community, meet new people that could be either clients or editors, or Kyle, who's our intern for the summer. I met him at one of the meetups that we have.
Awesome.
And so, like, that's another way that any business could probably engage with a co-working space, is through doing meetups. They're like events too, but
For sure.
You know, typically it's just a, you know, once a month thing, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of reminds me too. I know over at Raleigh Founded, they do job fairs where they'll actually have, you know, businesses from the space, but also like students from universities, come to the co-working space. And it's kind of like the students who are looking for work come in, and then there's businesses there that are looking to hire, and you don't necessarily even have to be a member, because you know, the co-working space just wants to provide that you know, connectivity for, because, you know, hiring is one of the most difficult things you can do as a small business, and you gotta be right,
right?
Because making the wrong hires can set you back. So yeah, that's a great. I love the meetup example, and, you know, there's so many other kind of events like that, like the job fairs. And I think another thing to think about too, and one of the ways that you mentioned, you know, through the app, I think the other cool thing that I'm seeing in the co-working world is how they're embracing technology, which is good for us and good for our business, because that's what we do. But I think it just kind of is another way that you can really plug in. You get both the digital and physical component. It's not just, okay, I can only leverage this co-working space if I go there and, you know, camp out and set up shop. That is obviously a great way, but because they're embracing tools like CoWorks and other technology, you can just be a part of the Slack community. You can be on the app and you can see and curate the events and programs that you're interested in and the people that you want to connect with. So I also think it's just highly efficient, because, you know, you're basically like, it's basically like you get LinkedIn, but you can actually go in and physically meet these people as well, and go to the events that you care about. So that's another thing to keep in mind, is you can really plug in physically and digitally, which is really cool to see.
Awesome. So Deshaun, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, like, what's one of the more memorable events that you've seen that was super creative? And where you're going through your CoWorks app, or you got a notice on your phone and you're like, oh, I never thought about that. That's pretty neat. I wonder how this will go.
Yeah, that's a good question. All right, I'm going to think here, because I also get to see other people's events that in spaces that I'm not a part of, that are just on our community. And sometimes you see some really cool things. I think one of my favorite ones is with Raleigh Founded, actually. They did a like Halloween mixer. And you never really know, because it is a workplace, like how...
And we're all adults, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and so, but it was like, you know, dress up with your costume and, you know, after work, they were going to have drinks and food. And then they had some like all kind of Halloween themed content that it was still kind of business related. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is either going to be no one's going to show up or everyone's going to be in street clothes or... You know, you just don't know how it's going to happen, but it was awesome. It was one of my favorite events. Jess Porta did face painting, and so she was painting people's faces. She did a Van Gogh Starry Night on my face, which was amazing. And
Devin, I remember, has something really gory on his face.
Yep, she does the like Walking Dead, like know, gory stuff. So, you know, these are just people that you see throughout the day in a business setting, maybe you've collaborated with. So I just, that one was really special to me because like you just got to see people in a way that you've never really seen them before.
Yeah.
But what I think what also made me really, I was really impressed was the participation. And I think that just comes with, you are, it's what I was saying before about like with the workplace, you spend so much of your time at work. Mm-hmm. So you get to know people. There's people that have been members in the space that even if you just say hi at the coffee machine, you know, once a week and you never really had a super deep conversation, you do that for 2 or 3 years. And like, you do feel like you know the person and like that you're friends and like, you don't have to even say much because you're all working. But yeah, I thought it was cool to see how invested the people were in the space and in the community of Raleigh Founded, because they all participated. And, you know, even the people who you would just never have thought, you know, they came in, they had their best costumes and face painting. And yeah, it just made me realize, okay, this really is a, you know, a true community in the sense of the word of like, you know, we know each other, we care about each other, we're engaged, we're involved. I think that's what you want to get to. And then you're ticking so many boxes professionally, socially, like mentally. So yeah, that one stands out to me, but you know, especially cause I got the Starry Night painted on my face there. That was pretty fun.
Yeah. We'll have to put that in the show notes, the picture.
We'll find it for sure.
Yeah. The only other thing that comes to mind, and maybe you'll have some other ideas, is for businesses, come to the happy hours, right? Those are typically free events that the co-working spaces want you to come to and just introduce yourself to all the people that are at the happy hour, typically co-working members, but just kind of talk about what your business does and, you know, what, how you can help out these different people. And it's just always great networking conversations.
Yeah. And, you know, with my consulting business, the first business I started, Lithios, a lot of people ask me like, oh, how did you grow that business? Like, cause we bootstrapped that business and we started off working with startups, but you know, I grew that business to work with Fortune 500 companies and companies like DraftKings and Intel. And you know, the secret was that I just showed up to places. In the early days, I didn't have a network. I knew my NC State colleagues, right? But they were all students. They didn't have money or businesses. So yeah, I just showed up exactly to your point, the networking events at co-working spaces, shook hands, passed out cards, did that for, you know, for a while. It felt, you know, fruitless because nothing happened. But when you do that and you're there every week for months on end, eventually you meet the one person who says, oh, actually my company is looking to build an app and you guys build apps. So you should talk to them. And then that leads to another referral, which leads to another referral. And I mean, that was it. That's how we got off the ground, was just being in these. We went to the Frontier. We went to American Underground. We went to HQ Raleigh. We went to all of these co-working spaces and just met people and talked to people. And eventually they would tell people about me. Yep. Like, oh, I know a guy.
That's right.
The app guy. Yep. And so it's a great way to just boots on the ground, get your business going and get seen and heard.
For sure. And you've got to get those reps in on telling people about your company.
Exactly.
Like, you've got to get that elevator pitch down.
Yeah.
And by going to these events, even if you felt like it was fruitless in the beginning, yes, of course, eventually it's going to come to something, but also you're going to get 20 reps, 40 reps, 100 reps of practicing what you do. And all of a sudden it's going to be good. Yep. And the first few times are probably not pretty good.
100%. Yeah. And on the co-works world, I do think doing those reps helped me later on when we wanted to fundraise.
Yeah.
I knew how to go into a room. You got, 30 seconds of someone's attention before they get bored.
Right.
And so you got to get to the point. You got to tell them what you're doing and why it's important and special and better than everyone else, and learn how to hold a conversation. And especially investors who they're getting, pitched to nonstop. You can't really be sloppy.
You've got to
be engaged. And I think that really helped me learn how to do that and talk about co-works and sort of the growth that we're having and the things that we're doing. So yeah, 100%. I think the reps is important, like you said.
Awesome. Well, last question for me, Deshaun, and this can be with Lithios, with co-works, with anything that you've seen. This is a B2B marketing podcast.
Right.
What is the biggest marketing mistake that you've made or you've seen that you're willing to share?
Yeah, I've made plenty because I am not a marketing expert, but being a founder, you've got to learn all those different pieces that are important running a business, marketing being one of the most important. I think for me, there's that saying, if you build it, they will come, right? I think one of the big mistakes I made was believing that.
Damn it, field of dreams.
Yeah, they lied. They totally lied. It is a complete and total lie. And especially because I am a builder, right? I'm a developer, technologist at heart. So I'm like, okay, you need a website? Boom, I'm going to build a website. You need an app? I'm going to build an app. Well, with great power comes great responsibility also, just to throw out more quotes here. But yeah, we spent so much time building stuff and no one cared. No one saw it. No one cared. And so I think the mistake on the marketing side is just going all in on production before you've actually got an audience. Mm. And a lot of times, you see the end goal. You're like, okay, I know we got to have a website that looks really good and has these videos and do these things. But if you spend all that time on the production before you've really thought about the distribution, you're just burning cash.
Yeah.
And I think that was something we had to learn the hard way, because the stuff was good. The content was good. The product was good. No one saw it. So I had to learn how to take a step back and say, okay, we know where the end goal is, but what kind of campaigns are we doing? And do we have some sort of email marketing? Do we have a network to advertise to tell people about an event that we're hosting, a webinar that we're doing? So just thinking that through, have your plan, but really, really tackle the audience and the people and the distribution, if not more intensely, at least as intensely as the actual thing that you're trying to sell. And if you do that and you really mentally say, I'm going to go really, really hard on building the thing, but also really, really hard on making sure as many people as physically possible see it and hear about it, that's when you start winning.
Yeah, that was a great answer. Well, Deshaun, it's always great to connect with you, catch up with you. For the listeners and viewers out there, how can they connect with you and with co-works?
Yeah, you can go to our website, co-works.com, and you can shoot me a note, Deshaun, DeShawn, at co-works.com. Check us out. If you know any co-working spaces that you love and enjoy and that you are inspired after this podcast to go join, make sure they're using co-works so that you could get the most out of that. We're always looking for good connections on that front.
Cool. Thanks, Deshaun.
Thank you very much.
All right. And everybody watching and listening, if you're interested in full service podcast production, if you're interested in using this space that we're in right now, which is on the Co-works app, it's called The Commons. They have a podcast production studio in here. I'm Jason Gilliken with Earfluence. You can go to earfluence.com or connect with me, jason@earfluence.com. All right, everybody. This has been the Earfluence Podcast, and we'll see you next time.